B-Pod Studios.
It's time now for the Gargano and Martinez Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez. It starts now.
Well, good morning and welcome into the Midday Show. No Anthony Gargano, no Jason Martinez. Anthony off for the rest of the week. Jason Martinez off today. Filling in your Saturday morning special. I'm Andrew Salchunas alongside Jamie Lynch, who is doing God's work today.
The Chunas!
Doing 9 hours of radio today, Jamie. I'm very proud of you.
Not all heroes wear capes,
yeah,
Andrew.
Yeah, man. It's like you're tarring roofs out there.
Yeah,
I'm proud
basically.
Of you working all 9 hours today. So thank you for hanging out with me today for the Midday Show. A lot of stuff to get into today. Phillies were off yesterday, but there is a Phillies
conversation. But everyone maintained their job.
Yeah, nobody
like
got fired.
You would have thought, like, you know, if there was a move to be made, John Manley and Chris Young get out of here. Yesterday would have been a day where that happens.
Yeah, when you get back home.
Day home after the West Coast trip, off day, you know. You
do them the service of giving them the flight home.
Yeah.
Like, hey,
we paid
for your flight home.
Who was the guy that got fired before the team flight not that long ago?
Well, it was
the USC coach. He got Sarkisian. Was
yeah, there was also a hockey coach last year. There's a hockey coach. They took his stuff off the bus, remember?
Yeah.
They put a suitcase on the bus, and then they had to go onto the bus and take it off and say, sorry, man, we're firing you. So the Phillies
maintained.
And everybody maintained their
job. And
that
means they're maintaining for the rest of the year.
That's probably going to happen, yes.
Oh, that's 100% happening.
That's probably going
to
happen.
If I had to bet right now, prepare yourself, because my gut says that Gabe Kapler is back next year no matter what happens.
I would lose my mind.
Well, you're going to be teetering on the edge of insanity then, Andrew.
Yeah, I think so, because I'm already... No, I'm not even borderline insane at this point. I am insane at this point, listening to him speak after every loss and not taking accountability for bad decisions, because he always has to try to say, well, this is why I did it, because I thought X, Y, and Z would work, and X, Y, and Z always fail for you. And yet you still try to tell us how you're a great manager and how you came up with the best decision in your scouting department, yada, yada, yada. No, your decisions more often than not are blowing up in your face over the last couple of months. And yet, yes, there's that article that comes out last week, and it was terrible.
That told me everything I need to know about the future of Gabe Kapler.
Yeah, because Gabe Kapler was a puppet, and he's going to listen to Matt Klentak, and he's going to listen to Andy McPhail, and he's going to listen to Klentak's people in his office, and that's why he's going to still have a job next year, because he listens.
Did you notice Carlos Santana last night?
Yeah, a nice little walk-off home run yesterday.
How about that?
And his numbers are better.
Sixth of the year.
Yeah, J.P. Crawford's still having a better year. Not great, but he's having a better year than what he did
How
with
about
the Phillies.
That?
Yeah, it's incredible. And don't forget, a lot of the guys that you brought in, superstars, are having worse years than previously.
Weird.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. So
it's almost like they're confusing their own hitters.
Now, here's the weird thing. They're two games out of the wild card.
How?
I don't know.
I just saw a stat not that long ago. Since the All-Star break, they're like pathetic.
Oh, yeah.
Here it is. Since the All-Star break, the Phillies have scored a National League fewest 115 runs. The batting average is also the NL worst at 240 since the All-Star break, and their extra base hits are the fewest in the NL again at 82.
Yeah, and Corey Seidman put out a tweet yesterday with all the leagues since the All-Star break, and it's like 27th in this, 28th
yeah.
in this, 26th in this. And I looked up, I did some research yesterday because we were trying to figure out their longest win streak this year. And their longest win streak is 4 wins this year. The Detroit Tigers, who have the worst record in baseball, their longest win streak is 5. Now, obviously, the Phillies are the better team than the Tigers, but think about that for a minute. A team that we had World Series expectations for, at least some people did, they can't even have a longer winning streak than the worst team in baseball this season. That's how bad things have been this year, but they're just 2 games back.
I mean, it just tells me there's a lot of mediocre teams in baseball.
Yes, but especially in the wild card.
The fact that they're that close to a playoff spot still is pathetic.
So this morning I woke up, Jamie, and for the first time all season, after that series with the White Sox, I said this is the closest I've been to saying season over. I woke up this morning.
I mean, I thought the season was over about a month ago.
Yeah, but you didn't want to admit it. You don't want to say it.
I mean, I'm still watching, I'm still following.
Oh, yeah. No, you're still watching, but you still wanted to hold on hope because you didn't want to go, all right, until the Eagles are back, I have to watch a team that I don't think is going
to
make the playoffs.
Like, yeah,
you didn't
want to
say it.
You have to emotionally protect yourself at some point.
Right, you tried telling yourself, all right, there's still a chance, there's still a chance. Like, there's still a chance right now.
If you got Marcus Stroman, there's a better chance.
Yes. There's still a chance right now.
Mm-hmm. If you moved on from Andrew Knapp a couple months ago instead of getting Hundley yesterday, maybe there's a better chance.
Yeah, it's just Andrew Knapp.
No, I hear you. It's like one every 6 days. It's just emblematic. Sean Rodriguez, Brad Miller. There's just guys all over this team that don't belong.
They're filled with mutts on the bench. Like they're not a deep baseball team.
No.
So this morning when I woke up and I'm like, who are the Phillies playing again? Oh, they're playing the Chicago Cubs. And I got excited, right? I'm like, okay, remember earlier in the year, this was one of the teams that we wanted to compare the Phillies to, the Chicago Cubs, and they went into Chicago and they split that 4-game series, and we were like, you know what? That's a team they could see in the playoffs. And if they could split in Chicago, I like the chance of this team.
Cole Hamels just reminds me of the failures of the front office last year.
Oh, yeah, not going after him.
I think that was a mistake. And I think that's what started kind of the spiral of pitching mistakes they've made with this team. Like, to think of the fact that you could have had Cole Hamels for a bag of baseballs, you then could have added a Marcus Stroman and potentially a Dallas Keuchel, all for next to nothing.
Right.
And you did none of these things makes me really question the front office.
And don't forget, they tried telling you, and remember, I was playing the Ken Rosenthal audio for you. I was playing the Matt Klentak audio for you. They tried getting ahead of things 2 weeks before the deadline, saying that they weren't really going to be that deep into buyers at the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the New York Mets had no right to be buyers.
No.
But look what they did. They bought.
Imagine that.
And look at where they're at now.
Imagine a trade sending a message to the clubhouse that, hey, guys, we're going for it.
And look what happened.
Wow.
They have now surpassed you.
A winning streak happened.
A team that wanted to fire their manager way long ago. They wanted to fire Mickey Callaway. So, this morning when I realized that the Phillies were playing the Cubs, and I tried getting all excited because whenever the Cubs are in town, you get a little excited because they are one of the better teams in baseball. And all of a sudden, I just stopped because I go, it's Jason Vargas tonight. And it's Aaron Nola tomorrow.
By the way, where did he come from? Jason Vargas?
Where?
The Mets.
Yes.
They unloaded him to you.
Yes.
And they went out and got Marcus Stroman.
And got better. Yes.
That's infuriating.
Yeah. No, it is. I'm past that. I'm trying to get past that.
I can't. When I see Jason Vargas on the bump, I go, oh, we got the Mets sloppy fourths because we have to pay his $8 million next year.
Unless you do the $2 million buyout at the end of the season, which is possible.
But I'm okay with Vargas if he's a 4 or 5 on your team. But the Mets got Stroman, and you did nothing. So and you took their slop.
You're still furious about this. What I'm trying to say to you, Jamie, for the first time all season this morning, I said I have no hope for the playoffs this year. Like, I'm done. I'm still going to watch.
Yeah.
I'm still going to follow along.
Way to come around.
But for the first time, on August 13th at around 7:45 this morning, when the alarm went off, I went, wow, this season's really over.
No, 7:45, that's a nice alarm.
Yeah, it is nice.
Yeah.
But for the first time all season, I said, wow, they're not making the playoffs. And here's the thing. They're just 2 games out.
Yeah, I know.
But at the same time, they're just 2 games above 500. So what are they?
Are they
just 2 games out, or are they a team that's close to going below 500? And at this point, with this pitching staff that didn't improve, with this lineup that is still struggling, with what I believe is a team that quit on their manager, and rightfully so, in my opinion, with a banged-up bullpen, with a front office that didn't believe in them, I think they are closer to falling beneath 500 than they are to getting into one of those 2 wild-card spots.
They're going to finish 4th in their division.
Yes. Like, how can you hope that this... yes, you can hope. How can you have any faith in this team to actually go on a run? When their longest winning streak all season has been 4 games.
I hate to speak in absolutes because I try not to do that in sports because a lot of time, you know, you can be proven wrong. You can look like an idiot. The unthinkable happens, and that's part of why we love sports. It's over. It's dead. I'm speaking in absolutes about this team because there isn't one thing I can hang my hat on.
No, there isn't.
Not one thing.
You can't say, well, at least they got this next year.
Well, at least Bryce is on a tear. Maybe he can carry for 2.5 weeks. No, he'll get hot for like 4 days. And then
4 days? One game. Well, remember, we talked about last Saturday.
He had a little streak like a month and a half.
Dude, we talked about it last Saturday when he hit the 2 home runs and he was giving everybody the high fives. And we were like, all right, do it again today. And then he didn't. He went 0 for 4
that
day.
And we did say, we were like, she's going to go 0 for.
Yeah.
But there's just not one thing.
No, there isn't. So,
I mean, what has been good about this season? Has anybody developed to the point where you're like, yeah, Scott Kingery's developing.
No, he had a nice run and then he cooled off.
In a position that he shouldn't naturally be playing.
He should be playing second
base. Rhys Hoskins has taken a step back in my book. Bryce Harper is just okay. Odubel Herrera, we lost. He's gone. He's dead to me as a Philly. I never want to see him in pinstripes again.
Yes.
McCutchen probably would have been one of the true bright spots of the team, but he got taken from you from injury.
Oh, you got Corey Dickerson. Oh, wait, he's a free agent at the end of the season.
Yep.
So he may not come
back. Gene Segura started hot. I thought he was the engine of this team for a while. He's really cooled off. Mikel Franco, what the hell is going on over there? The pitching staff, what should I be excited about there? And the bullpen, every single dude died.
Yes.
They're all dead.
Yes, and you paid a lot of money to those guys.
$26.5 million
over 30
from
years old.
From Meshack, Hunter, and Robertson. Yeah. And you got nothing.
Yes.
Hey, God.
Yeah, it's been a very bad season.
It's been a season from hell.
And there's still 44 games left. So the question that we have running, and we have a Twitter poll. We'll get into that in a little bit. Do you still believe the Phillies will make the playoffs? Simple question, yes or no. And here's a tweet from Jason. Not sure I want them to. The only chance for change is for the egomaniac owner to be embarrassed. And he's right.
Fourth in the division is embarrassing.
Yes. Fourth in the division is embarrassing, but I hope it's like by five games, not by two, not by one. They have to finish five games behind the Mets or five games behind that second wild card team for something to change. So we're going to get into the Phillies today. I have a question about Cole Hamels tomorrow because I guarantee you if they lose tonight, there will be people cheering Cole Hamels tomorrow over the Phillies.
Oh, you could bet your ass.
Because, and don't say I'm crazy, you guys did it for Chase Utley at one point. We have a lot of audio from Carson Wentz. He sat down with Sal Palantonio, and he talked about being injury prone. He talked about the new norm, and that's also going to jump into
my
some
pal,
Carson,
your pal, Sal pal.
It's going to go into some Carson Wentz versus Dak Prescott conversation, and of course, the Sixers schedule came out yesterday at 3 o'clock.
So 75-7. I went through it this morning. W's okay. And L's.
That's,
75
we'll,
wins.
We'll do W's
great.
And L's again. There was also a great Adrian Wojnarowski tweet that I'm sure you're going to love, that I also love, that those start times are going to be a little bit earlier.
I think
on
I brought about
TV.
This change. I think Adam Silver's a big fan.
It's all because of you,
yeah,
Jamie.
I make these sacrifices for the people.
So we have a lot of stuff that we are going to get into today. We'll talk about all of that. Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz will speak today at 11:10. It is the midday show. No Anthony or Jason today. It's Jamie Lynch, and I'm Andrew Salchunas. Tyler Zuli's behind the glass. He's also doing updates. The number to get in today, 610-632-0975. Again, he's Jamie Lynch. I'm Andrew Salchunas right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Gargano and Martinez Middays. Gargano and Martinez Middays.
10 a.m. hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all styles of windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Midday show. No Anthony or Jason today. It's myself, Andrew Salchunas, alongside Jamie Lynch.
Salchunas!
So, one of the questions, and Jamie and I have been doing Saturday mornings here on the Fanatic from 8 a.m. till noon for the past month and a half, maybe 2 months now at this point, and we had a question running this past Saturday, and it was the day after a Phillies win, and it was when the Phillies beat the Giants in Game 2 of that series. Since then, they've lost two straight. We all know that Gabe Kapler made a terrible decision in Game 4. A-Rod ripped him on national TV, and I don't really like A-Rod doing ESPN Sunday Night Baseball.
No, I think he's not bad.
You like him because he ripped Gabe.
No,
and I do too. For that.
I thought he's done a fairly nice job the past couple seasons right. Outside of the Gabe hate.
Remember how he's trying to eat a cheesesteak?
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Yeah, no, I think he's awkward. I think Alex Rodriguez is an awkward person.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, I think he's very awkward, but he did a good job ripping Gabe the other night.
Well, he was right. I mean, the thing with Gabe, and I'm a longtime defender.
Yes, you are.
His baseball gut is not good.
No, it's not.
Like, forget all the analytics, because guess what? If you hate analytics, then you're going to hate baseball, because it's pretty much going to drive every single team.
Right.
Once the Astros had success with it, the blueprint was out. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's going to follow it.
Well, even before that, the Rays with Joe Madden in 08.
It goes back to Joe Girardi and the Yankees.
Yeah.
So Joe Girardi's going to be the hot name. Oh, get Joe Girardi in here. He's a baseball man. Well, Joe Girardi also had a binder of analytics that he would use very much that drove the New York fans nuts. So analytics aside, because that's the league now. So just get over it. Accept it or die, basically. He does not have a good baseball gut.
No, and that baseball gut last Sunday night when they lost to the Giants was not walking Kevin Pillar, who was the hot hitter, who already had three RBI in that game.
He did it earlier this year with Freddie Freeman with a base open, and boom, next pitch, Freddie Freeman puts one in the bleachers.
When all you have to do is put him on and then face the guy after him, and in this case, it's Brandon Crawford, who's been struggling all season.
Yeah, I mean, there's been situations where a bunt could be used, especially with a team that doesn't produce a lot of runs. He won't do it, you know. I mean, not pulling guys. Ranger Suarez the other night, it was pretty damn obvious he didn't have it from the first pitch.
Yep.
And he kept him in there, and you lost the game. Like, he just doesn't have good instincts on top of everything else that's annoying.
He doesn't.
But he also doesn't have a bullpen to manage, which I think is the only thing a manager really does.
And that's why I'm not blaming really Gabe Kapler for everything this season. But with all that
being
said,
there's so much playing to go around.
With all that being said, on Saturday, we did a show asking the question, would you at this point root for the Phillies to lose and really just go downhill the rest of the season if it meant Gabe Kapler being fired? Because I know there are a lot of Phillies fans out there who want Gabe Kapler fired. I have another tweet already. I was asking the question when we started the show, do you still believe the Phillies will make the playoffs? And one guy responds with John. He goes, if they get rid of Kapler now, there's a possibility that they make the playoffs.
It's not going to be that drastic.
No, it's not going to happen.
Because the new manager's still going to have an awful bench. He's still going to have a third baseman that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
He's still going to have a terrible bullpen. And he's still going to have Drew bleeping Smiley in his starting rotation.
Right.
So,
and Jason Vargas and Jake Arrieta without an elbow who might not pitch.
He's done. He's going to shut it down.
He should be done at this point.
My gut, he's not helping. He's actually hurting the team
at
this point.
I'm tired of the wall and 85% Jake Arrieta is better than the minor league.
Not really.
No, not really. When the guy can't even throw at this point.
Like, and he's 65 to 70 pitches.
And he's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
Nick Pavetta's going to come back into the rotation. So even if there was a new manager, he'd have to deal with that.
Yeah, and he looked great in his last outing, giving up two runs and a third.
I think the criticism that's fair is this team shows no life.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to the manager.
I think it's a reflection on it.
Yes,
I think that's fair.
So. So at this point, I want to bring up that question that we talked about on Saturday because the majority of the people said no. But that was after they won game two of that series. They have now lost two straight. Gabe Kapler made some more bad managerial decisions.
They won two of seven out west.
Yeah, that's bad.
In a playoff hunt.
And they're 3-7 in their last 10. They've lost three straight series. And they're about to start a series with a good Cubs team. And I go back to saying it. When I woke up this morning, I said, wow, the Phillies are playing the Cubs. Let's get excited. And then I go, you know what? No, I don't think they're going to beat the Cubs, and I think the season is actually over. I don't think they're going to make it to the playoffs now. So I wonder how many Phillies fans out there, 610-632-0975. At this point, it goes back to what we talked about Saturday, but have things changed? Are you actually rooting against the Phillies for them to lose so that Gabe Kapler can be fired? Hmm. I still can't do it.
I was saying on Saturday you're a fraud fan if you root for them to lose to get your way.
What are you saying today?
Still the same.
Okay.
I can't root for them to lose actively.
But if they lose, you're not going to go, damn it.
I don't think anything's going to change the fact that Gabe Kapler will be back as a Phillies manager.
What if they implode? Like, they're out 10 games. There's no way they could keep him.
I still don't think it's going to happen.
Which I think is a total mistake.
I think they like what he brings to the team. Maybe there's something. You know, he calls season ticket holders when they buy packages.
Oh, yeah, that was part of the story.
Yeah.
FaceTime Gene Segura.
Yeah.
Hi, Gene.
Hey, Gene. Are you presenting beautifully?
It's just unbelievable. By the way, coming up at 11:10 today, we'll have the Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz press conferences. And after Carson Wentz speaks, we will get into a Carson Wentz conversation. I have some audio when he sat down with Sal Palantonio, and it was interesting what they got into because Sal Pal asked him, he's like, I know you try to tune it out, but you have to hear it. People say you're injury prone. And he gave a pretty interesting answer.
It's not people say it, it's reality.
Yeah, it is reality. And instead of him saying, like, no, that's not true, he actually said, I get where it comes from.
Yeah, well when you're hurt four of the previous five seasons.
Sometimes guys would like to say, no, that's not true. He actually gave a different answer than what I would think he would give.
Good, he better realize it, because if he realizes it, then he can improve on
it. Exactly. So we'll play that audio later on in the show, and also he talked about the new norm that Doug Peterson brought up 2 years ago after they won the Super Bowl. There it is, that quote right there. But the new norm was with Nick Foles playing in those playoff games and not Carson Wentz, so Carson answered that as well.
Well, did you see the Will Cain tweet yesterday comparing Dak and Carson?
No.
I'm
out on Will Cain.
Yeah, so am I. But regardless, you know, I was like, ooh, do Super Bowl rings next? That was my tweet. And I had Eagles fans being like, dude, that's Nick's ring. And I'm like, yeah, Nick played perfect in the Super Bowl, but Nick doesn't do what Nick did if he didn't have a first-round bye and home field advantage in the playoffs.
Yeah, Carson
Wentz has a lot of sweat equity in that ring.
Right.
So, you know, he's better than Dak. And yes. I like Dak. And we'll get into it.
You like Dak? You have his jersey? Yeah, Prescott jersey?
I mean, I like Dak a little bit. I think he does get overhated by the Philadelphia fan. I think he's...
He's not a Super Bowl quarterback.
Slightly above better than mediocre.
Slightly above better than mediocre.
Like, I think he's like in that 11-12 range.
So in Pro Football Focus, when they start putting up slightly above better than mediocre, it's like got to say Dash Jamie Lynch, right?
Yeah, slightly better than mediocre.
So we'll get into Carson and Dak later on. 610-632-0975. Let's go to the phones for a little bit. Let's talk to Nick in Collegeville. Nick, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gentlemen, sure it is.
Hello, Nick.
Bro, what's up, guys? Listen, you guys, actually, first of all, you guys do a great job Saturday morning.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
That's fun. It kind of extends my week, you know, into Saturday when it comes to listening all the time. Look, unfortunately, the Phillies are like a bad stock. Like, they were up six, okay? Then they keep on, they start trickling down. And then we've been saying for weeks now, oh, they're half a game out. Oh, they're tied. Oh, they're just one game out. Oh, and then today you went, Tunis, you went, after giving all the negatives in your intro, you went, but they're only two games out. Now you jump on top of that and said, but I don't think they're making the playoffs at all. And that's the truth because, like you said, since the All-Star break, these numbers are trending not slightly downward. They're on the bottom.
They're pathetic. They're pathetic numbers, Nick.
Well, yeah, it goes back to me saying, Nick, what are they doing well right now, and what will they do well to get them back into that playoff hunt? Obviously, they're still in the hunt, but what will get them back to one of those two wild card spots? Like, what are they going to do the rest of the season? Do you really think Bryce Harper is going to go on this super tear because we've been waiting for it all year and we still haven't seen it?
No. Look, they're going to do absolutely nothing because, like you guys said, their style of baseball, and I understand the new analytics and what the new stats say, okay? Unfortunately, that proved to be true over a longer or a larger sample size. The sample size now is 30 games, okay? It's like playing poker. The way I played poker early, you know, the first 50 hands when it cost me, you know, one green chip, 25, you know, dollar chip out of $20,000 chips, I can see a flop for $25 in the beginning of a hand. But when you're the final table and you're putting up a $1,500 ante and you have to pay $10,000 to see the next card, you play completely different. And that's the way baseball is in the postseason and late in the season. And it's like NBA. You just need to win a game, whether it's getting to the free throw line or bunting. That's what you do to get an extra.
Yeah, and they don't do that, and they also give up on games, Nick, and we appreciate the call, man. They give up on games, and that goes back to that 15-inning game against the White Sox when you had Ranger Suarez, who did pitch the night before but had 3 days rest before that, so he should be available for you that night, and you go, you know what? No, we're going to pitch Roman Quinn. And I get it. It was against the Chicago White Sox, who are not a good baseball team. But at this point in the season, you're not a great baseball team. And you need every win that you can get in order to make it to the playoffs. And you gave up that game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
and that's been the tone of the season, giving up.
Yeah. He's pushed in his hand on several games this year. And how is Adam Haseley not a better pitching option than Roman Quinn?
I see, at this point, I don't even care.
And why the hell is Adam Haseley down in the minors?
I don't know.
He was one of the few bright spots the last couple weeks. His development is more important to this team and its future than Sean Rodriguez, Brad Miller, even Michael Franco, Jay Bruce. He's more important because, let's face it, they're not making the playoffs. I think we both agree.
Yes.
Adam Hazen will be back up in probably 2 weeks when they expand the rosters. His development was more important than half the guys on the roster. And he was doing well.
And yet you keep Sean Rodriguez, who you saw in the outfield.
Sean Rodriguez is here because he's Gabe's buddy.
Yeah.
Let's call it like it is.
Former teammates. I've said it 1,000 times.
That's the only reason Sean Rodriguez is still here.
But he crushes lefties, even though he's a career 240 hitter against lefties.
He's really capable of some damage when he steps into the box.
Like, I'm serious. Like, it's not like he's a 300 hitter against lefties
stinks.
In his career.
He had one decent season in Major League Baseball in 12 seasons.
Yeah.
What the hell are we doing?
We're sending
Adam Haseley down so that Sean Rodriguez and Brad Miller can have roster spots?
No, I don't get it. And it goes. And Corey Simon, I alluded to this tweet last segment. Corey Simon, Phillies ranked since the All-Star break, 26th in runs scored, 27th in batting average, 26th in slugging percentage, 25th in the all-important OPS, and 26th in extra base hits.
But John Maley's job is safe because Gabe tells you that he battles and he shows up every day and he gives it an effort. Oh, yeah? Why don't you go look at Carlos Santana's stat line from this year and tell me what the hell he's doing different? Because whatever he's doing this year, the entire roster of the Phillies team should be taught how to do that. Because it's pathetic. If I see another infield pop out, because that's launch angle induced.
That's Rhys Hoskins.
From Rhys Hoskins and Scott Kingery.
With the bases loaded.
I'm gonna break my TV remote. Stop teaching it the way you're teaching it. Because it's awful, it's pathetic, and frankly, it's getting embarrassing for us fans.
Yeah. And Rhys Hoskins did it again against the Giants. Two outs, bases loaded.
That is the way they're teaching hitting.
Okay, so
they're so concerned with getting the proper launch angle that they're not just hitting the damn ball. Guess what? When you go up and try to hit a home run, you're not going to do it.
Okay, so let me ask you, because I feel like you're really angry.
This season has been a monumental dump on my chest.
With Matt Klentak.
How are they having jobs?
What?
How?
They need to implode for them to all be fired.
I think pitching and hitting can change without Gabe staying.
But I think Gabe,
because John Middleton will eventually say, Gabe, it's all of you guys or them. Come on, man. What's it going
to
be?
Right. Well, for Gabe to be fired, they got to implode.
I mean, this is pathetic baseball.
Yes. So, do you want them to lose to the point where these guys get fired?
No, because that would require,
Think
there's 42 games left? 43?
44.
That would require them going like 10 and, like, it would have to be like monumentally
bad. Do you think they're going to make the playoffs?
No.
So why not just blow it out?
Because I don't think Gabe's going to get fired. I really believe
even
that.
Even if they end up finishing.
There was a propaganda piece last week from Bob Nightingale.
They can finish below 500 at this point. They're only two games above 500.
Yeah, that's fine. I still don't think Gabe's going to get fired. So why would I root for my team to lose?
If they finish below 500, there's no way he should still be the manager here.
You said a key word there. Should. He will be. They go read the Bob Nightingale piece.
I read it.
They told you he's going to be back. Deal with it.
And that's a problem.
I don't disagree at this point. But John Maley, how the hell does this guy have a job? Honestly, who has exceeded or met expectations this year?
Nobody. Really nobody.
And Scott Kingery is where he was paid to be. Like, he's kind of at what he should be. He didn't exceed anything.
No.
He just got back from a terrible season last year to where he should be,
kind of. I think one guy that was kind of around expectations, at least my expectations, was Real Muto. I think a lot of people thought
he's been solid.
Lot of people thought much higher of him.
Yeah, but
he's still one of the best catchers in baseball.
Yeah, his defensive efficiency numbers are the best in baseball.
Yes.
He's got one of the best WARs for a catcher out there.
Yes.
He's been fine. He's not a problem at all. I love JT Real Muto. I think it's been a little underwhelming, but I think that had to do with us fans maybe expecting a little too much.
Well, because they gave up their top prospect.
Yeah, and everybody who's killing it in Double A right now. We won't mention that.
He's also had some pretty bad moments.
The last like six starts,
he's
like
lights
out.
It out.
Whatever. I don't regret that trade for a second. Everybody else has been below or not met expectations, and I don't know how you. And that includes pitching. Who's a pitcher that has met expectations or exceeded expectations?
Aaron Nola's been.
He's all you got. You have to remove him from the conversation because he's a given.
Yeah, but he's also struggled this year.
Yeah, he has.
And first,
he was like 6-0 to start the year.
First year of Chris Young.
Yeah.
And he's pitching worse than he did last year.
How Maley and Young have jobs still is... every single Phillies fan should feel insulted that these two still have a job. Because what they're teaching isn't working.
Well, they should have been insulted 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago before the deadline when they said, we might not make that big
of a
move.
That was pathetic.
They quit back then when they were still in the wild card.
Yeah. The front office was cowardice this year.
Andy McPhail said to you, right? To you, Jamie, to you, Phillies fans, he said to you, well, we're not going to make a big move, number one. Then he also said, well, if the season ended today, we'd be in the playoffs.
Well, guess what, Andy? It didn't end today.
Yeah, and the teams that have passed you, they made moves at the deadline.
Yeah, how about that?
And you didn't. You got Jason Vargas, Drew Smyly, and Corey Dickerson for a bag of balls, who's a free agent at the end of the season.
They teach hitting in a coward's approach, and the front office sent the clubhouse to the fans and the team this year that they took a coward's approach. If I had one word to wrap up this Philly season, it would be cowardice.
Yeah, that's a perfect word for it. Perfect word. 610-632-0975. Also, the Cole Hamels thing. He pitches tomorrow. I know.
Love Cole.
Jason's back tomorrow, so I'm going to get into it again with Jason tomorrow. But
and Mike from Del Ran says Jason's Gabe impression is better than mine. And that's fair.
No, it is.
His oh, yeah.
But you do a good job. I'll give it to you. You do a good job. How many people do you think are going to be rooting for Cole Hamels against the Phillies tomorrow?
Openly? Yeah. A good handful. This is the first time he's been back at Citizens Bank
at the
Bank
stadium.
Park.
He'll get the standing ovation
he'll
when he goes down.
He'll get an Utley-esque ovation.
Let's
when
say
he
strikes
out
the side in the first inning.
There will be some like Bronx cheers type of ovation.
Yeah. That's a bad thing. And that is...
If I'm John Middleton, I'm going...
Oh, jeez.
Well, here's the thing. You should cheer for Cole Hamels tomorrow. Because
that would send a message.
That should be a direct shot toward the Phillies front office.
Two of the three guys the Cubs gave up for Cole Hamels aren't even in baseball anymore.
One guy got cut from a Korean league. Like, that's how bad.
He went for a bag of baseballs, and Matt Klentak went, nope, can't use him.
No, he's over the age of whatever we want.
How much does this season change if you have Nolan Hamels as your 1-2 entering the year?
It's a little bit different.
Sure is, Andrew.
610-632-0975. Don't want to forget that we do have some Eagles conversation on the table. We'll play that audio coming up. Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson will speak today at 11:10. So that's coming up in the next segment. The next segment, you will hear from Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz. We'll get into a couple more phone calls, and we'll play the audio. Carson Wentz sitting with Sal Palantonio and gave some interesting answers. And he didn't admit that he's injury prone, but he did say, I get where that's coming from. 610-632-0975. Jamie Lynch and Andrew Salchunas. We're filling in for Anthony and Jason on the Midday Show right here on 97.5
The Fanatic. 97.5
The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Gargano and Martinez Middays. Gargano and Martinez Middays.
All right, welcome back. Coming up at 11:10, Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz will speak to the media.
Special guy, Dougie P.
Yes. So Vince Young said that.
Yeah.
So the story, and I don't know if you guys have ever heard the drop, but the drop is Vince Young saying, Doug P, haha, very special guy. So the thing that was amazing was I called Vince Young.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy.
Yes. I tried getting him on the show, and he was working in...
He's doing something now with... Is he back at Texas?
Yes, he was...
He's doing something with the team and the school.
But before working with the team, he was like with like the... It was in the diversity department, and but I don't know where, if it was like a class diversity thing, or if it was just like the diversity department of the University of Texas, something like that.
Yeah.
And I got a hold of him. I called the secretary, and I'm like, hey, can I speak to Vince Young? And she's like, may I ask why? And I was just like, hey, you know, radio. And she was like, all right. And just, like, I didn't make up a lie. I wasn't oh, I need to speak to him about diversity. Like, why would I? No,
yeah, no,
I'm not a J.O.
sandbag.
Yeah, I'm like, no, I want to talk to him about getting him on a radio show and whatnot. And I'm like, hey, Vince, you know, Andrew from The Fanatic, I want to get you on with my host to talk about Doug Peterson because you were actually on the team when he was the quarterback coach.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, Doug P, very special guy.
Doug P, very special guy.
He said that to me. And then when he came on the air on the Midday Show and they said, hey, Vince, what are your thoughts on Doug P? He said the words verbatim, Doug P, very special
Doug
guy.
P. Very special guy.
And I'm like, great.
But I'm like, I'm sitting there.
Is
in
he a
studio.
Robot?
I'm like, oh my God, he said the exact same
three
thing.
Times.
That's why I pulled the drop because I was like, he said it to me when
Doug
I called
P.
him, and then he said it on the air.
Very special guy.
It's just, I'm like, all right, that's what his first thought of Doug Peterson is.
I was standing on the field with Sunday Night Football back at, remember he filled in at the Meadowlands?
Yes.
And he got the player of the game. And I'm standing there with Michelle Tafoya. Like, he did all right when he came in with the Birds. He wasn't, like, amazing. And I'm standing there, and I'm on the field, like, standing behind Michelle Tafoya with the camera guy. And I'm looking at Vince Young as the Eagles player of the game. And I'm like,
this is where we are.
This is our reality, huh?
Yes.
This is really...
This is the dream team. Vince Young was right.
Yeah.
He won the game.
Yeah.
It wasn't dream team because he wasn't the quarterback. It's the dream team when he is the quarterback.
No, yeah, he is the dream.
So, Doug Peterson, very special guy.
Very special guy.
We'll speak today at 11:10. Carson Wentz will then follow.
I don't expect Wentz to play on Thursday, do you? I guess maybe...
I could see him playing.
I think if he plays at all, it'll be the third game. I think he needs to play because apparently he's not having a great camp from most people's reports. I mean, what that means exactly, he could be working on things, I don't know. But apparently he's been inconsistent.
Yeah, so that's why I was telling you last Saturday, I need him to get his feet wet and get game speed. Because week one, I don't want him trying to figure it out. And I know it's just the Redskins. And you know what? You could be right. They could win a slop game 10-7, and that touchdown for the Eagles could be a pick six, right? Like, Dwayne Haskins could throw a pick six, and the Eagles win 10-7. I get all that. But I don't want my quarterback getting his feet wet in week one.
I
want him to get his feet wet in the preseason. And Bob Ford wrote a great story yesterday on the Philadelphia Inquirer. He wrote, not playing Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz in preseason is risky too. So everyone's saying, yeah, it's risky from the play.
Absolutely. Bob's sharp, man. He makes good points all the time.
Not playing Carson is not just as risky because he's obviously not going to get hurt.
If he got hurt, then you've lost everything and gained, I think, little.
Right.
Like, one is way worse than the other.
Yeah,
of course. But yeah, if he's having an inconsistent camp.
So are you back on my side?
No.
Because we don't have a backup.
Are you going to flop again? We don't have a backup quarterback. I can't risk it.
They got Clayton Thorson, bro.
Nah.
They got Clayton Thorson.
It's bad.
It is bad.
I was watching Josh McCown on ESPN yesterday. I'm going, just go get that guy.
He looked good. He looked in shape.
Oh, his hair was presenting beautifully. He had a nice part to it.
I'm sure Gabe Dapp was a big fan of his hair.
Yeah.
So Carson Wentz, a couple of days ago, it was over the weekend actually, he sat down with Sal Palantonio of ESPN. It was on ESPN.com. And it was like a 3-minute video that they posted, so I pulled a couple of things from it, and one of the things that they got into was the idea of whether or not Carson Wentz is injury prone. And you said it best, it's not an idea, it's a reality, because he was hurt before his rookie season. Remember, he missed all of camp.
Go back to North Dakota State.
He was hurt in North Dakota State. The last two seasons, he's now had season-ending injuries.
Even his rookie year, yeah, he played the season, but he entered the season missing a lot of training camp.
Yeah, he was banged up because of it.
So there's always something.
So Sal Pal brought it up during the conversation. Here's a little clip between Sal Palantonio and Carson Wentz.
I know you tune everything out, but you hear it. I mean, we all hear it. 13-3, if he makes it, you know, they all say if he makes it through the season. Get tired of hearing that?
I mean, hey, I get it. I mean, there's only so much I can do. You know, it's at the end of the day, it's football. And so there are injuries are going to happen, things happen. And I'm going to do everything I can to set myself up for the best chance of success and to avoid injuries. And so there's things that are out of my control, and that's something that I've had to come to grips with. But what I can control, I'm going to do everything I can to be out there with my teammates and hopefully play a long season.
Now, do you buy it? Do you buy that he's going to do whatever he can?
No.
You think he's still going to try to...
He's still going
to
play Carson's game.
It's 3rd and 6, and he's going to try to dive for the first down marker.
Yeah, and to be honest, like, I love it, but it concerns me.
Well, at the same time, I love Joel Embiid diving into the crowd. I also hate Joel Embiid diving into the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Especially against the Knicks on a night that it doesn't matter because it's in the middle of the regular season.
I would hope that he changes... Like, I've said it a million times. If I'm Doug P and Mike Groh and the quarterback coach, is that still Press Taylor?
Yes.
If I'm them, I go to Carson early in this offseason and I hand him 5 years of Russell Wilson tape. And I say, watch this dude. Watch how he avoid hits. Watch how he ducks out of bounds. Watch how he'll throw the ball away because he's a mobile quarterback that doesn't get hurt. Never missed a game in his career. And he very much is able to limit the amount of hits, the amount of dicey situations he gets in. And that's who I want Carson Wentz to model his game after, frankly. So I really hope he has that realization because, you know, look, this contract is massive. And if he has one more decent to major injury, everybody's going to be freaking out.
He could be done.
I don't want to go that far, but he's one.
Depending on what it is.
Like if he ends up getting a recurring back problem or something, could be. But, you know, one, even if it's something weird, like a rotator cuff.
Or if it's a Nate Sudfeld broken wrist.
Yeah.
You're going to go, oh my God, this guy's made of glass.
You're going to go, he's Mr. Glass. And everybody will panic big time. So I hope he realizes how important it is. And, you know, maybe don't dive for those extra couple inches here and there. Maybe duck out of bounds. Maybe throw a ball away. I can live with all of that. It's worked for Russell Wilson.
Yes, it has. And he won a Super Bowl.
And he went to back-to-back Super Bowls.
Yeah. And he's still going to be playing again this year.
And if it wasn't for moron Pete Carroll there, they probably would have had back-to-back
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.